You want to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy. It's at the very start of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's in the Pentateuch. It's in the first five books of the Bible. I chose the last chapter of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is a message from God given through Moses. And it's a very special portion of Scripture. He is recording, and right at the end, it's his last, his fifth real message to the people just before they go into the Promised Land. But to get the full significance of what's happened, I need to just back up for a second so everyone is on track with this. Moses was a man that God used mightily. He was allowed, a Jewish young baby, was allowed to be raised in the Pharaoh's home because of God's supernatural intervention. He was raised, but when he got to be about 20, he killed a man for beating up some of the Jewish people, and he had to run off, and he hid out for many, many years, 40 years, basically, hid out in the deserts, and no doubt, more than once, must have asked himself, how did I get here? Man, this is a mess. You know, he's out in the middle of nowhere. Then God calls him, and he goes back to Egypt. Didn't want to, but he goes back to help the Jewish people get out of slavery. They had been in slavery for 400 years, and God used them in a very special way. He goes back there, and he's able to do some incredible miracles, and ultimately the Pharaoh, after losing his own son, says, okay, you just take him, get out of here. And they head out, and then the Pharaoh gets really angry and heads after him with his armies. And they get to the Red Sea, and it looks like they're trapped, and God miraculously parts the sea, and this whole 2 or 3 million people go through this body of water. They get to the other side, the Pharaoh's army takes after them, and then when they were in the middle of the Red Sea, the water came in and drowned them all. So God had miraculously protected them. They will march on. He leads this bunch of people that had been slaves for their whole life. He leads them, and God allows them to go to a special mountain where the Ten Commandments were given. And that would have been an incredible time, and there was incredible things that happened there. But after that, they then marched on over to the entrance to the Promised Land. And they sent in some spies, and the spies came back and reported things. And only two of the spies reported good things. And God said, you know what? And the people went with all the majority vote. And they said, we don't trust going in. We don't trust going in. We're going to get killed if we go in. And God judged them. And that whole generation wanders in the wilderness for 40 years and dies. Everybody that's 20 years and older dies, except for a couple people. Moses would have been, he actually didn't make it in either, so he was one of the ones that died because of his own sin at another point in his 40-year journey. But now he is still the leader of all these people, and God had mightily used this man, and he comes to this point where he knows they're going to enter the Promised Land now, and he says to this new generation, you know, recognize now, anybody that was 20 years and older has wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and everybody in that age group except two men have died. And now this whole other generation that's only known wandering in the wilderness, basically being fed by manna, which is a miraculous food being provided. Then what happens is they bring him over to the Promised Land. Moses knows he doesn't go in, and he says to the people, now listen up. I've got a message from God for you. You better pay attention because you're going to start on a new journey. He basically was also saying, and I'm not coming with you. The leadership is going to change. And it was a scary, scary time. It is in that message that I wanted to share this. If you have your Bibles, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. I'm going to just read it for us. And again, we're in the middle of the message. It started back in chapter 29, by the way. In chapter 29, he recounted all that God had been doing for them. And then at the end of 29, he tells them that, you know what? There's going to come a time when you guys are going to do sinful things and worship false gods, and God's going to judge you. And then the start of chapter 30 is a good word of encouragement that says, but God will bring you back into the promised land even after you have been chased out again for your sinfulness. And then he comes to this final statement of his message. This is like the closing invitation time. And this is what he says. For this commandment, which I command you today, is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. In other words, now listen, it's appropriate for us tonight. This is not so hard that not anyone in here, everyone in here can understand this. So don't give me this garbage you can't understand. You can understand this. That's what that's saying. So don't say, no, I can't read this. I can't understand the Bible. No. He says that it's not going to fly. God says everybody can understand this, okay? So we ought to pay attention to what he says he's going to understand. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that we should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Okay, all of this, Moses was saying to them, you know, I'm kind of sick and tired of you guys making excuses for not understanding what God wants you to do. I'm just telling you, there's all of these excuses mean nothing, because it isn't true. Verse 14, but the word of the Lord is very near to your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. That verse right there is repeated in the New Testament, Romans chapter 10. Paul said the same thing. He said, listen, the word of God is so quick and so powerful, you just got to listen. You can't tell me you can't get it, because the Spirit of God is powerful enough to break through your heart. It would only be the hardness of one's heart that you wouldn't. And now we get into the passage that is kind of like the concluding thoughts. See, I have set before you today, now listen to this, note what it says. I have set before you today life and good. Now, does that sound like a good thing? Sounds like a good thing to me. I want life and I want things good. I don't know about you. I want that even today. But notice what he says. I have set before you today life and good, and I've also set death and evil. Boy, we look around our culture, we see a lot of death and a lot of evil. You know, in the last week and a half, I've had three people, were called in and terminated. Two of the individuals had been working years at where they were. And they were escorted out as if they were criminals, when in fact all they were is their position had ended. But because our culture today doesn't trust anybody, they even take people that have served them loyally and just make them feel like a rat because they have gone poor in their business plan and they're getting rid of people. But that's part of this death and evil that's present around us. In that, I command you today to love the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So he was saying to them, I've got some great ideas for you. Do these things and you're going to be blessed. And you know what? If we do those things, we're blessed today. It's applicable today. If we'll do these things, God, that has a way of blessing us. And it is amazing how in our day and age, we blame everybody and everything but ourselves, when in fact, we got to look at what we need to be doing to be in right step with our God. That's what he was saying to them. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. So he's talking about the Old Testament believers. He says, listen, you go messing around and worshiping something other than God, and it is not going to go well for you. It is not going to be good. It is going to be painful. And then he concludes with these words. I call heaven and earth as a witness today against you. Now, you may say, well, that is odd talk. But in the Old Testament, they often deliver their message in the context of a covenant. A covenant is, we would refer to them often as contracts, but a covenant is way more special than just a human contract. It is an agreement between two parties, and God's involved as a third party. And what they did in the Old Testament days with their covenant, they always had to have witnesses. Notice whom God, Moses, called in as witnesses, repeating the message from God. Who are his witnesses? Heaven and earth as witnesses. Wow, those are powerful witnesses. Today against you, that I have set before you life and death. So you have a choice. You can go God's way, you can go the Lord's way, or you can go the way of the world. Blessing and cursing. In other words, you can be walking in his protective care, or you can be just exposed to all the wickedness of our day. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Now, isn't that a beautiful reminder? What it reminds me, I'm a father of 6 children, and I now have 15 grandchildren. I have a responsibility to those grandkids. And those grandkids are impacted by who I am and what I do. Just like they're impacted by my wife, who's the grandmother of those children. And you know what? Every one of us has those types of family connections. We have responsibility to live our lives right. And that, and God really is expecting us to do right in these areas, that you may love the Lord your God, and that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the strength of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them. So he's talking about the promise that they would have the promised land. When I look at this, I see 3 unchangeable truths about life that apply not only all those years ago, that have been that's about 3,000 years ago that this message was delivered. 3,000 years. Isn't that stunning? I mean, I think 60 years is a long time. 3,000. But the message is absolutely relevant today. When I read this, actually, I woke up at about 3 or 4 this morning, and I couldn't sleep, so I took my Bible and my iPhone with my Bible, and I was reading this passage, and I got so challenged. And I said, you know what? This is relevant. These unchangeable truths are as true today as they were 3,000 years ago when Moses delivered them. So here are the 3 that stood out to me. There are other truths. This first portion, I want to go to the last statement. There's a couple things. He tells us in here, and by the way, these are, when you read your Bible, you ought to look for these words. He said that you may, that you, and you'll see that same phrase, that you may, and then you'll see it again, that you may, that you may. You see that? That is, when you read your Bible, you ought to look for repetitive phrases like that, because Scripture is carefully written. And that he was giving us a fourfold thought here, that you may love the Lord your God. You ought to love the Lord. And that, by the way, love is not an emotion when it's talked about for the most part in Scripture. It is a decision of one's will. We choose. This is what love really, the real definition of love. The world has messed this up with all of our soap operas and dramas. It isn't even understood at all. But this word, love, the concept of love in Scripture is a decision of one's will to sacrificially give of yourself to meet the need of another. In other words, I can love my wife, but you know what the number one way I love my wife? Is I do everything I can to meet her needs, even when, and especially when it costs me. When it's inconvenient, when it's not, that's how I love them. How do I love my grandkids? The same thing. I go out of my way to sacrificially meet their needs the best I can. But in the process, we model it for one another so that they start to learn how to love biblically. And they're giving of themselves to meet the needs of self, of someone else rather than themselves. And all of a sudden, the home and the life and our interaction with others is so sweet, because now it is about giving instead of taking. And you know what you'll find? People want to be around people that are givers. It's hard to be around people that are constantly takers. It drains you. So it's to love, to obey his voice, to cling to him. Wow. You know, what do you think of when you think of the word cling? I was talking about my grandkids. I don't normally talk about them all the time. At least I hope I don't. But I was thinking about picking up Zoe, which is my one little granddaughter. She's under two, but just about two. And I happened to pick her up after she had been napping. And my wife had been caring for her, and mom had come home from work, and we were going to take her home. So she was just woke up from her nap. I happened to grab hold of her, and she just grabbed hold of me. She didn't really want to wake up, and she didn't want to be around things, and she just wanted me to hold her. And just, that's the type of cling that we are supposed to have for our Lord. We're supposed to just reach out and claim him and cling to him. And then it's that we should dwell in the land. And here's the point. Life consists of one choice after another. That's all these are. Loving, obeying, clinging, dwelling with him, spending time with him. That's one choice after another. I got up this morning and I was absolutely overwhelmed. One of the reasons why I woke up at about 4 a.m. is I had so many things that all needed to get done. You ever feel that way? I mean, I was just overwhelmed. Because they're heartbreaking stuff. You know, there's a lot of people hurting, and I felt a personal responsibility to do what I can to minimize some of the pain that people are going through. And so I woke up and I made this list. And I got up and I was talking to Pam just before I headed out, and I said to her, I can't get all this done. She said, but just remember, take one at a time. Now, isn't that an important reminder? And that's what this passage is talking about. We can't do it all, but we can all walk in the right direction. We take one step at a time. Life consists of choice, one choice after another. Number two, it talks about your life is the product of your choices. Now, that's pretty scary at times, by the way. Up until I was 27, the product of my choices had gotten me to the point where my wife takes me on this little weekend thing to inform me that if I don't get my act together, our marriage was over. That was the cumulative product of my choices. That was a pretty stunning weekend. You know, this is now over 30 years, almost 40 years ago, 30-some years ago. I remember it well. But that truly, when I look back now, I made a bunch of bad choices. I had a bunch of bad priorities, and it got me to a point where things were going to start crumbling. Well, that's what this passage is saying. In that commandment, I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandment. There's another sequence of beautiful things to remember. To love the Lord, to walk, learn the Bible and walk the way that he says for us to walk, and then to keep his commandments. Purpose to say, you know what, even though I feel like doing this, I'm not going to do it because Scripture says not to. That's a personal discipline. That's a choice. We can all make it. But we've all learned not to make it too. We just do our own thing. But notice what he says. Here's things to watch out for. You know, you get to a point where you do not hear. Some might be in here tonight saying, I'm not listening to you. This is boring. Well, you know, that's a choice you can make. But that's exactly what it's talking about here. If you do not hear the word of God, my recommendation to every one of us in here, listen to the word. Number two, don't let yourself be drawn away. There's a lot of things that look really enticing in this day and age, but I'll tell you what, their end is not good. You know, I haven't said this to the congregation, but I'll say it tonight. I don't know why I feel moved to say this, but my oldest sister and her husband, they're both dead now. They were almost 12 years older or 13 years older than I was. But they were multimillionaires. But they didn't love the Lord. And I watched their three children destroy one another over the pursuit of that family wealth. And I stood back and I said, well, at least my kids will not be able to do that. There's nothing to fight over, so that's settled. But the spirit of that is so sad, because it's what the world says you always want. You want this big bank account and you want to have these great big... No, you really don't. You want to have a love for the Lord. You want to keep His word. You want to walk in peace. You want to find joy in just being a blessing to others. So be careful about being drawn away and worshiping other gods, such as money, such as drugs, such as yourself, such as another person that you have made a god. Never seen that happen? See it all the time. People start to worship this other person to the point that it becomes a god, and that's a great way to get abused. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish if you do those things, and you shall not prolong your days in the land or cross over. So here's the point, is your life is a product of your choices. Now, I've got a really good word, and that's where this started. See, this is what Moses said to him. See, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil. I was with a man the last several days. I spent a lot of time with him because he got terminated from his employment. He called me right after he got terminated, and I said to the man, I said, you know what? It's really sad that this has happened, but I'll tell you what, this presents a real opportunity for you. In this case, this individual has been drinking for probably 25 years. You know, he drinks an enormous amount. And I've had an intervention with this guy so many times that the two of us, it seemed like a broken record. But here is the point. What looks so horrible today, I said to this individual, I said, now listen, I don't feel sorry for you. You know, we've had a relationship for a long time. I don't feel sorry for you, but I love you as a brother. This is an opportunity for you to finally choose wisely and start a new life. In my ministry as a pastor, I have noticed that many, 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 many people finally start the life they should have started all along when they're absolutely at the bottom of the pit. Because they finally got to the bottom and they recognize, you know what? I'm a pretty wicked person. And I've made a lot of wicked choices and I've hurt a lot of people. It's about time I start honoring God and choosing wisely. And that's what this is talking about. You can choose life in good, or if you want to run an automatic pilot, going the way of the world and just doing our thing, whatever feels good, is absolutely equal to death and evil. So here's the third point. Today could mark the start of your new life. It is, whether you like it or not, the first day of the rest of your life. And yeah, you may have a lot of junk in the past, and you may have a lot of baggage, but one of the beautiful things about going God's way, He really, really, as we talked about on Sunday, we talked about the potter and the clay. God is in the business of taking clay that has mars and faults in it and problems in it and just mushing it all down and then remaking this marred product, this mess, into a masterpiece of His own making. And every one of us. You know, I look out, and ladies, you don't know this, but I look out, and there's several individuals in here that have been where you are tonight, but they're not there today. Some a couple months ago, and some 30 years ago. But they got to the end, and they said, you know what, it's time to go God's way. Isn't that true? We could really have a sweet time of testimony. Out of jail, out of prison, out of the gutters out in the street, to recommit in our lives and seeing what a beautiful thing God can do with it. It's really sweet. That's what we're about as a church, ladies. Because that's what I believe God intends for Christians to be about. Taking wherever we are, getting real close to Jesus, and going God's way. And to everyone in here, we got to make sure that we're investing in others for God's glory. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. It's the great and the first great commandment. But the second is likened unto it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity. I know I had other passages I was going to share, but time's up. And I ask, Lord, that you would use this in all of our hearts. I thank you. I thank you, Father. How you used it in my own heart this morning to just start afresh. Purpose to use this 24 hours for your glory. Father, help us never, never, never to be satisfied with where we're at. But Father, to always desire a closer, deeper, more meaningful relationship with you. And may it overflow into a sweet interaction where we are helpers of one another. And I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.